Well, we had young people earlier here with us and everything, and I think we ought to sing the song in honor of them, to say the least. Oh, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Indeed, that's what we want to do, is make ourselves a living sanctuary for the Lord. The religious world at large looks at a sanctuary as an edifice of a building, and special things are there, colored windows that are there, one thing and another. But the Bible speaks in regard to the Lord resting within our heart, remaining within our heart, remaining with our inner man, desiring to strengthen him from day to day. The real sanctuary is within us. Thank you all for being here today. Thank you for singing along with us today. We've been talking in the last several weeks of time in regard to evils. Evil in the world in which we live. What brings it about? We understood that it's the will of man that often brings evil about instead of the will of God. What has God thought about it? God objects to it. Says there will be a judgment day plan that will rid those things from our presence. What do we think about evil in this right way? Well, let's talk today in regard to something that we can do in a positive nature that will bring about always staying on the right path. It's found in the statement made in John chapter 14 and verse 6. When Jesus had noted to his disciples that I will go and that I will bring about a great joy for you in life, he said the following in John 14 verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It was then the question that came up of Thomas, Lord, we do not know where you're going. We don't understand to know the way. Have I been with you so long, he says, shown you so many things, and yet you do not know who I am? It is the case that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. How will I know his way? And when I get off of his way, can I say that that is evil on my part? Surely I can. For his way is a way of righteous conduct and a way of right doing in life. I learned of his way as I studied together in my home with mom and dad and with my brothers and sisters, with things like that in life. I learned about that way by way of the Bible class time. For the teachers that are volunteers and dedicated to those lesson studies present not their will, but they present word for word what is in the Word of God, the way for life to be followed. It is the case that I want to hear the preacher tell me verses in the Bible that I can look to and read. And many a person in years gone by, we don't live in that generation now, sad to say. But that generation has come and gone. But I remember meeting a number of people that they got mad as they could be at a gospel meeting or Brush Arbor that was done, because there was something written on the chalkboard up there, and it was a verse written on the chalkboard, and the preacher preached the truth from that verse of scripture. And when they left out, they hardly wanted to shake anybody's hand. They were so mad, they went home. And the good man of the family said to the wife, Ethel, or Hilda, or whatever the name was, old names at the time, get my Bible down. I'm going to see by the coal oil lamp if that's really what it says that that man said tonight. I'm going to read by the hearth of the fireplace. I'm going to read that and see if that's what it says that he quoted tonight. Only to find that it not only was there what he said, but the meaning of that word was as he explained it. And the context of that scripture was in the context of a lost sinner needing to be saved. The next morning, when his daylight came up, that farmer, that gardener, that man before he went to work at a factory place that he went to, took his Bible out on the porch, and in the sunlight he read once again what that preacher had said last night. Came to obey the gospel. And many years later, I as a young preacher would come along and I would preach, and they'd say, "You're preaching that same gospel message that I heard so long ago." And she would say, "Yes, and it made you so mad that you wouldn't shake hands with anybody as you left. Had me to get your Bible down and read. And you read what he said was true and accurate." Along the way in life, we can learn the way of the Lord if we'll stay with his word. Jesus said about his disciples in John 17:17, "Father, sanctify them through thy word. Thy truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So the word of the Lord, if we will read that, if we'll see that, and we put it into practice in our lives, we're living by the way of truth. A way that is righteous, a way that is compassionate, a way that is friendly, a way that is good. We can be the people that the Lord would have us to be. Instead of choosing an evil way, we can end in that way that leads to life. Jesus said, "I am the way." He said, "I am the truth." The truth of God's word, as he spoke to his disciples about that in prayer, is to understand the truth by understanding the word of the Lord. Jesus said in John 12:49, "The word I speak unto you is not my own, but my Father gave me these words and a commandment that I speak unto you." These are words in commandment form. There is an insistence of God about them. This is the true way to live and to behave. When we read that in God's word, we see the truth. In Micah 6:8, the old prophet said, "O man, what doth the Lord require of thee? But to love mercy, do justly, and walk humbly with thy God." Listen to what's said there. What does the Lord require of thee? Love mercy, do justly, walk humbly with thy God. Love for there to be mercy extended. It is described as true religion, pure religion in James 1:26. "And undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." I'm so thankful that this congregation, the men of this congregation, often ask about and be sure that we have mailed a check to those who care for the fatherless and widows. I'm so thankful that they thought about this. And in times of great need, and you've been reading and seeing, no doubt on TV, the tremendous floods that are coming about in the middle part of our country, and how this congregation was already a part of helping that. 2 trailer loads of materials had been dispatched from Nashville all the way up to as far as they could go. People came in boats to receive some things until they could go further into that flood-strained area and supply for them help and need at that time. We were thousands of dollars involved with that already when it took place. Love mercy. Do justly. Do the right thing. Do the right thing sometimes when it takes us to sacrifice for it. It takes us to do something extra. It takes us to think about it deeper. Do justly. And then when you walk, walk humbly before God. Don't walk in a proud way of, "I've done it. We've done it. This is the way that we do." but walk in an humble way, thankful to God that we have realized that great way, that truth, and we realize that way of truth is the thing that God requires of mankind. He requires of us that we love mercy, do justly, and walk humbly with our God. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. When we offer what Jesus has offered to us, we offer a way of everlasting life. We offer a way of wonderful happiness, free from the temptations of evil in this world, and glorifying God throughout life as we go, we find a way in which that life is to be enjoyed. When Jesus talked about his church in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the place of the dead, shall not prevail against it. It'll live on. The way of Jesus in building his church was it to go on and on and on. In few numbers, in many numbers, it's to go on and on. Life-giving properties of what Jesus wanted his church to be about. These disciples of the Lord in Revelation chapter 6 have suffered death. They have been put to death because of their faith in the Lord and their trust in Him and their teaching His Word. The Roman government has put them to death. They say to the Lord, how long, O Lord, how long will our blood go unavenged upon the earth? Jesus is the Lamb of that passage. He comes to them and says to them the following. Bring white robes and put upon them. For they must tarry here for a little while. Till their like-minded brethren on the earth suffer as they did. What's happening? We have suffered, and we're down here over this, on this side. Will our blood be avenged on earth? Yes, it will be. But only after your like-minded brethren on the earth has suffered as do you. Were they afraid that death would rob them of life eternal? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Our trust in Him and our obedience to His will finds us enjoying a real hope of the soul. When the Apostle Paul addressed young Timothy in regard to his life and his arrest and now his days at hand are soon to be ended here upon this earth, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says to Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. And I have kept the faith. If you'll look at that just a moment, you'll see the way, the truth, and the life in what he say. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. And not for me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. We live beyond that day and time. Are we going to love His appearing, or is it going to be when the angels call and the trumpet sounds and we know that that day has arrived, that He's coming again? Will we have some other things, as the song says, preparation to make? Will we be glad that He's coming, glad that He's delivering us from this world in which death and sorrow are now binding mankind to a fear, and now we have hope of everlasting life in Him, and He is now coming, and I'm overjoyed that He's coming. That's what Paul says to the brethren. Not to me only, but in all them also that love His appearing. Indeed, we will love the Lord's appearing if we have the growth in the faith that we ought to have. We will not have the running and hiding that's described in Revelation 5 of those who say to the rocks and the mountains, fall on us and hide us from His wrath. Hide us from His presence. They didn't want to see Him. And yet it is the case here that we'll love His appearing. What a blessing it is. To you that are listening by way of internet, even in Central America, as you hear this lesson study, we love you and we appreciate the fact that you have walked many miles to be a part of a worship service. And that you from week to week enjoy singing the songs that we sing with us as we sing them. And enjoy the studies of the Word of God that we present. And how that we would ask of you that your friends and neighbors there realize you're not calling people to your way. You're not calling them to your church. You're not calling them to your way of practice in life. But that they're being called by this lesson studied today to the way, the truth, and the life that Jesus Christ our Lord told to His disciples as He was about to leave them. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Here in the States, we have made preparation today. We have cold waters warmed. We have materials by which people can dress and be baptized at a moment's time. How grateful we are to be able to help people to follow that way, that truth that is revealed, and that way of life eternal. When I study with people, and I'm finding myself more often now getting involved with discussions once again. And I use the methods that I have studied and prayed about and tried to be of help to people in life. And I use those methods again. And I'm seeing some success with them in being able to discuss with people who at earlier times were very critical. That you write these verses down on a page and you send them to me or give them to me. And I just don't read them at all. And I'm angry about it. I'm mad about it. I don't want to have it there. And they're finding themselves meeting a friend who in kindness tries to be of help. I hope we see good results from that. But even if we do not see good results from this time, can we not be thankful that there were those who came to this area before? The Cathy family and the Sinkfield family and all those who came across Tate County and set up a building in which they could gather, and what do they expect of those who came to preach the gospel? To teach about the way, the truth, and the life. What a blessing they brought to this area. And what a blessing you and I can be a part of it as we teach others. It's the time in which we look at these matters and we find ourselves overjoyed to love Jesus and to care about His way. I close with Jesus' own remarks regarding this matter as He started the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 13, Jesus said, seek out the straight gate and the narrow way that leads unto life. although there be few that find it. For there is that broad gate and that wide way that leads unto death, and many there be that go in thereat. Will you become a part of the few who walk in that way that leads unto life? We trust that you will. As we stand together today and sing this good hymn of invitation, will you not come to Jesus as we stand and sing?
Were you there for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him back your burden, carry all your load? Let him have his way. Constant rest. Would you prove him true? Each providential test. Would you in his service labor always at your best? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you are to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and
may the Lord bless and keep you all. Thank you for being here today and studying with us. And we trust that you can come back and be with us this evening at 6. And also, if you will, please circle on your calendar April 1, 2, and 3. It comes up immediately after next Sunday's 31st. And treat it as a gospel meeting. We've invited these good men to come and be with us and to speak, and limited them in time so that we can both speak and answer questions within the hour. See if we can do that, please. Come and be a part of that service with us on Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night of April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. God bless you all.
Thank you in person, and we can just say thank you so much for your help.
Amen.